This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, Classic Business is the proud media partner of the second SAVCA Private Equity and Venture Capital Awards taking place in November. And tonight we're talking to one of the driving forces behind last year's winner in the mid-size category, Vumatel, Luke Albinski, who's managing partner Advantage Capital, which provided the maize funding. Great to see you again, Luke.
Good evening, Michael.
And on the line, we've got Tanya van Lille, the CEO of the Southern African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association, SAVCA. Always a pleasure, Tanya. Pity you couldn't be in studio, but I'm sure you're keeping well.
Oh, thanks, Michael. Always great to be on the show. And hi, Luke.
Hello, Tanya.
Now, Luke, perhaps you can kick us off. Before we talk about the SAVCA Awards, I'd really like to talk a little bit more about the Vumatel story. And we've got this pervasive, gloomy economic and political environment. It's been that way for some time. But if you look at the story of Vumatel, the founder and former CEO, Neil Schoeman, put it to a packed auditorium at Gives a couple of years ago. We have, as a country, tremendous amounts of opportunity for entrepreneurs. We've got an interesting mix of first and third world problems, and it means individuals can leverage themselves and their companies here to actually make a difference. Now, isn't that a great way of looking at the outlook through a glass half full sort of lens? Firstly, Vantage Capital, you're a mezzanine debt provider. What does that mean?
So we provide essentially debt that is that takes a lot more risk than senior debt, the debt that's provided by the banks. And so it fills a vitally important gap in the market for companies like Vumatel that certainly when they approached us weren't bankable yet. They were just getting going. They just had a few thousand subscribers. I think they had passed about 14,000 homes at the time. And they needed a tremendous amount of capital to grow. And that's where we stepped in and we provided that risk capital that they required to take them to the next level. And then we got Standard Bank to come in after us and provide additional senior debt capital. So we basically catalyzed the senior debt raising for the company.
And that's really mezzanine debt's role, isn't it? To play that catalytic role to ensure that startups can bootstrap and ask friends, fools and families for money and then bring in the mezzanine providers. And then you've got the senior lenders in the form of the banks that close off the loop in that ecosystem. When exactly did Vumatel first become involved with Vantage? How did that conversation go?
No, it was a very interesting conversation because as you rightly point out, it was started by Neil Schoeman and his management team, and they put in about 80 billion rand of their own capital into this business, and they got going, and they were going in a few suburbs. They were in Parkhurst, Parktown North, and then they approached us, and at the same time, they approached Investec Principal Partners, and Investec provided the first equity, outside third-party equity check into the business. And then we came in with 250 million rand. Now, this was a business at the time that was generating less than 1 million rand of EBITDA. And here we were providing 250 million rand to this business. So we were true believers in the model and in what Vumatel could become. And the success has just been unbelievable. I mean, we've gone from 14,000 homes passed to over 500,000 homes passed. That EBITDA number has grown 100-fold in 3 years. So in amongst all this gloom and doom, we've had this absolute rocket. And that's why I was very interested to hear Chris's talk about that 1% that accounts for all the equity value creation. It's very, very true in the mezz game as well.
Yeah, you've got to be able to find those 1%ers. And that's also, I'm sure, why the big fees are paid to the mezz providers, but more so to the private equity partners and the VC funds who are looking for those outperformers. Tanya, talk to me about what the judging panel and the adjudication panel liked about the Vumatel story. There is so much to like about it, but it walked away at last year's inaugural award Awards with the mid-size category trophy. What really stood out about the Vumatel deal?
Well, Michael, the judges really liked the exceptional innovation that the company displayed. I mean, bringing fiber to the home was pioneering for Vumatel at the time. And it was also about giving access to people who necessarily wouldn't have had access to fiber. So it's about the connectivity, it's about the inclusion. And something that Vumatel does that not a lot of people know is they provide fiber, or whenever they go into a new suburb, they also provide fiber to the schools in that suburb free of charge as part of their way to give access to schools and students in terms of just being able to be connected to the internet.
It's a great example of quasi-public-private partnership solving for a public good here, Luke, while also rolling out your business model.
And the innovation is continuing. As you may have heard, they're moving into Mitchell's Plain. They're now developing a prepaid fiber product to access those lower-income areas. They're going to move into Alexandra and Soweto as well. So they're really pushing fiber far beyond the kind of high-income suburbs of Sandton where it all started. So I think that's absolutely tremendous. And then there's Vumacam that could have a huge role in solving the crime problem in South Africa. So what a wonderful, innovative company we have, and we're just so lucky to be able to have invested in it.
Luca
and Michael. Besides all the great financial returns that they've seen, it's also the management team's capability to, you know, manage this rapid growth strategy that experience. It was exponential growth, and it's not every management team can do that.
Well, in fact, that's generally where you see great innovations, great ideas stumble, is in that scale-up phase. Do you scale to fail? You really have to have a very sound management team behind you in order to manage that. I know Investec almost seconded the current CFO, Kobus Viljoen, and so he superintended a big part of that growth. Luke, just talk to me about any concerns or anything that needed to be ironed out before the deal could be concluded. Did you have any sleepless nights? As you said, 250 million rand down on a company that's only got EBITDA of a million. That takes a pretty impressive testicular fortitude.
Yes, well, look, we had to do a lot of due diligence, and we had to be convinced that the business model was fundamentally strong and that the management team had that execution capacity to roll out at great speed. And so we spent a lot of time in the field. We went and saw the teams in the field. We spent a lot of time with management. And we also, what we did to reduce our risk was we dispersed the funds in stages. So they needed to meet certain operational benchmarks before we dispersed the balance of the funding. And in that way, we try to manage our risk.
Is that the key to mezzanine funding, to getting it right? Vantage, obviously, the biggest player in the local market, and there are others, but it isn't a market that is hugely concentrated. Why is it difficult?
Well, I think it's, again, that 1%. For every 100 deals we look at, we do one. So there's a tremendous number of opportunities that we just don't find are credible, that aren't bankable, where the information is... It just doesn't make sense to us, where the management teams lack credibility. And, you know, we have to find those rare jewels amongst the muck that can be the next Vuma.
And I think, Tanya, for you at SAVCO, what you're doing with the awards as well is also trying to find those rare jewels and to sift them out. I'm sure you've had a great response to your initial call for entries. What's it looking like this year?
Well, Michael, it's very important for us to showcase what the great companies in South Africa are achieving. I think there's so many doom and gloom stories out there. It's time we also take the opportunity to celebrate what great South African companies are doing. And this year, again, we received an astounding number of nominations, which we now have to whittle down to top three per category. And we also added a new category for startup venture capital early stage companies, because we saw lots of appetite last year in the small company category, but these companies were still just too early to be considered for that particular category, which South won. But we're seeing so many good applications from, you know, early stage companies that have great innovations. They don't have all those revenue numbers yet, you know, where Boomatel was before Vantage got involved, but some wonderful companies that have been nominated in that category.
And great to hear that the VC space is being celebrated as well. Such an important part of the ecosystem, much like you did at the conference earlier this year, giving venture capital its own day as well. And as we see the likes of Kurt Fonsell and Knife Capital and Justin Stanford of 4DI showing that you can do VC successfully in South Africa, hopefully that ecosystem will. Luke, personally, did you learn any real life lessons from this particular transaction? If you look back at it now, nice to be able to say you backed Boomatel very, very early on before the banks got in there. What lessons have you taken from this person?
No, it's an interesting one, because when Vuma first came to our committee, we actually turned it down. And it just seemed too early stage, too unproven. And I remember distinctly having this uncomfortable feeling in my gut that we were missing out on something very special. And so I brought it back to the committee the next week, and I said, look, let's take another look at this, because yes, it is very early stage, but it is a very, very special opportunity. And I'm just so glad that I did that.
What was it in your gut that made you think this is the one, this is a special opportunity? Is it just a sense you get of the jockey that's behind this business?
I think it's a combination of factors. I think one of them that really spoke to me was the fact that this business is so defensible. You know, the previous speaker talked about this moat. And the reality is that once you've tied up a suburb, it, the chances of a competitor coming in and spending tens of millions of rands doing the same are really quite remote. So you have established a foothold that is very, very hard to get dislodged from. And this, I think, really appealed to me, this ability to capture and hold on to market share in a very sustainable way.
They do call it a fiber land grab. When you look at potential now for Boomatel, you mentioned some of the innovation going into Mitchell's Plain, SpyCam as well. What next? Going into Africa?
I don't know about Africa, but certainly in South Africa, there's a vast market to tap. You know, we've really just targeted the high end of the market. And the reality is that everyone wants broadband. Low-income earners, middle-income earners, high-income earners, we all want broadband.
Well, if you look at it, internet traffic across the world crossed the 1 zettabyte mark officially in 2016. We've already doubled that. Now, just to give you an idea, 1 zettabyte, I had to go and Google this. It's equal to 1,000 exabytes, which is 1 billion terabytes or 1 trillion gigabytes. And if each gigabyte in a zettabyte were a brick, you could build 258 Great Walls of China. So it just gives you an idea of the immense demand for data, and it is growing all the time. As every house you go to, if you go to a children's party at someone's home and they don't give you the Wi-Fi code, you think twice about whether or not you should stay. It's just the nature of life.
And all the studies point to the fact that broadband has a tremendous multiplier impact on GDP growth. So part of the solution of getting South Africa out of this low-growth trap is broadband, it is digital.
Absolutely. To Sandile Hlope's point earlier, we need to unlock those. And Tanya, what you're doing at SAVCO is also highlighting these firms that have high multiplier impacts and effects on the economy. It's great to have less red tape for mom and pop stores, but we really want the gazelles to fly. If someone wants to nominate a company, is the process still open?
Well, on the SAFCA website, there's a section called SAFCA Awards 2019. I think we're also almost at the final stages of the selection process in terms of shortlisting. But if there's really a great company, they still have a day or two to try and get the entrance in. On the website, either electronically or there's an Excel spreadsheet that they can email to.
Super. Squeaky bum time, I think Sir Alex Ferguson would have called it, if you get your entry in the next few days. Thank you very much. Tanya Vandel, CEO of SAVCA, Luke Albinski, Managing Partner, Advantage Capital, for a good news story to brighten what has been otherwise a rather gloomy day in South Africa's political economy. That's a wrap for the team tonight. Sound engineers Mataba Taba Radebe and Mawanda Lobe have been driving the bus for you, and my thanks to producer Andres Matlangu too. Sylvia A is in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town. In Gauteng, Carolyn Stain is up next with the smoothest classics on Winding Down. Good night.